Father, we want to acknowledge what you already know, for Jesus told us and made it clear that apart from you, we cannot do anything. Apart from abiding in the vine, of resting in who he is and who he has called us to be, and the power that he is working in our lives to be that kind of person to change us from the inside out, Father, we cannot do it without you. So, Father, we are about transformation, not conforming. We're about changing, not about just adapting. Father, we want you to change us from the inside out. And, Lord, we need you to do that very work this morning among us. So, Father, as we look at your word, may you show us one area where you want to begin to engage us, that we might begin to be conformed more and more fully to the image of Jesus Christ as his disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Yeah, it's great to be back with you all this morning after having been gone the first weekend in February to my father's funeral and then having a snow day last week. I feel like we've really kind of been gone, and I guess we have to some extent. But we are back in the book of Ephesians, and in keeping with that, I'd like to ask us all to stand as we read the passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning. And let's read it together, all right? So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity with the continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, that you were taught that you, with regard to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which you were being corrupted by its own sinful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put a new self created like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. You may be seated. We're in that section of Ephesians now, starting in chapter 4 a couple of weeks ago, where Paul basically introduces the idea. He's been talking about who we are in Christ, and now he's saying, you know what? It's time to grow up in Christ. It's one thing to be able to celebrate and to enjoy our identity and the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. But he says, if that's where we plant our flag, if that's where we stop, then we fall way short of the very purpose for which he called us and the very identity for which he gave to us. So we're continuing along this theme of it's time to grow up. Growing up is hard to do. Not just breaking up is hard to do. Ever hear that song? For those of you from the 70s? Some of you are thinking, Martin, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's okay, you didn't miss much. But growing up is hard to do. It requires us being willing to face change, the ability to be able to endure the emotions that come with uncertainty. Rather than hiding from it, we choose to engage it. It's hard to do. But here's the good news. Facing change and facing courage, being willing to grow up, it always catalyzes growth. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Of all the growing up I've had to do in my life, it may have been difficult going through at that season of life, but I've never regretted going through it. I may have hated it at the time, but after I've gone through that stage, I've always looked back and I said, thank you, God, because I'm not the man I once was, and I don't ever want to go back there. It's a beautiful thing. This is part of the reason why Kim and I are going through what we're making decisions that we're making. The last time I was with you, we shared that Kim and I are going to be transitioning out of Elam and out of church ministry, at least as a vocation, and going in a different direction. And I'm heading into chaplaincy for either hospital or hospice care and have started that training. But, it's painful. It's challenging, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's a beautiful thing. It's not easy. We are engaging and experiencing all kinds of emotions, just as you guys are, as we go through the transition, which means if I'm going through transition, you're going through transition. Sorry, there's no way to get the baby out. It's got to be born, and it takes two. So I don't know how that works for you, but I should probably stay away from birth analogies. I've been told that in the past. You know, for me personally, I'm leaving a role that I feel very, very competent in. I've been doing it for 30 years. It's a role that I've become fairly comfortable with. Oh, there's always things that challenge me that come up at different ages and stages and as we go through stuff. But, I feel fairly competent. But I'm going into the role where I'm not the competent one. Where I'm the one who is the newbie, and I'm the ones walking through the ER during a trauma visit saying, I have no idea what in the world I'm doing. But it's a beautiful thing. But it raises all kinds of fears, all kinds of emotions that really I'm starting to realize are rooted deeply in my past. Fears and insecurities. Places where, as I go through this transition, as I choose to grow up even more, even at 58 years old, places where the gospel needs to do some more work. And it's a challenge. I've had to confess some of these areas, some of these places to my supervisor over there at Tacoma, over at St. Joe's in Tacoma. And he'll look me in the eye, and he's a younger guy. But he'll look me in the eye and say, so, Martin, where do you think these are coming from? What do you think are the roots? And I thought, you're the young guy. I should be asking you these questions. But it doesn't change the fact that there's more growing up that I need to do. But to grow up, it means I've got to be willing to confront my past. Whenever we grow up, it always brings up past issues that we've got to be willing to confront. I know that the Bible says that when you are in Christ, the old is gone, but the new is come. And I believe that 100%. But when it says that the old is gone, it doesn't mean gone as in absent. It just means it loses its power. But it only loses its power as we are willing and able to confront it with the truth and the power of the gospel. So to be able to grow up, we need to be willing to confront our past. And believe it or not, we all hear voices. Now, I'm not referring to, although I was tempted to show the clip from the movie The Sixth Sense. For those of you who have seen that movie from, I think it was the 80s, right, Brian? Where the young boy goes to Bruce Willis and says, I hear voices. And Bruce Willis looks at him and says, what? He says, I hear voices of dead people. We all hear voices, and many times they're the voices of dead people. They are the voices from our past that have shaped us. They are the voices of parents and teachers and influencers in our lives from our past that shaped our personal, our relational, and our moral identity and compass. They are very, very powerful voices that hide in the background of our lives, in the backstage, and we become very used to them, and they're very normal to us. We don't know that they're the voices of our past. They are just the voices that have always been there. I don't know how many of you like Dr. Laura Schlesinger, but I really like her. She made this statement that I discovered the other day. The way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice. The way we talk to our children become our inner voice. The way our teachers spoke to us becomes our inner voice. the way those who have influenced us in the past, the mentors, they become our inner voice. And we always live out what we have learned. We always live out what we have learned. And if we don't challenge those voices, if we don't even know enough to challenge those voices, they secretly yet insistently sabotage so much of what God wants to do in our lives. And at some point in this process of growing up, He's going to begin to expose along the way what those voices are. And they are very powerful, but they don't need to stay that way. We always live out what we have learned. Just after my dad died, I was preparing to go back to Des Moines, Iowa, and we were going to bury him. Happened to be during that Arctic cold. I thought, Dad, you could have chosen a better time. But I was sitting there in my chair and I was thinking about things because my family is a very chaotic place, a very dysfunctional group of people. And while over the last 12 months to year and a half, I challenged my father to try to put some of these things at rest, he didn't know how to do it. So at one point, it was probably a Wednesday morning, I texted my brothers and my sister. I have two brothers, one older, one younger, and then one sister who's about 16 months older than I am. And I sent this text to them, and I had no idea what I was getting into. I should have known. But I said to them, I have this question for us to consider as we lay Dad to rest. Obviously, his children are not at rest. What are the messages that we heard growing up that still haunt us like ghosts today? And how do we begin to put them at rest? How do we expose them and put them at rest? Well, it wasn't 30 minutes later that my oldest brother called me. And he's kind of a hard-edged guy, kind of keeps to himself. And he said this to me. He said, Martin, I got your text, and I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea. And I tried to explain it to him. I says, well, Ken, it's like this. And about 10 minutes later of trying to explain to him, he says, man, I feel like I'm talking to a shrink or to a pastor. I said, well, you got it half right. I says, I tell you what, go to your wife, to Marcia, and ask her this question. And he heard it, he says, here, you talk to her. And so I started talking to my sister-in-law, and she says, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And we talked for an hour. I said, now, Marcia, you need to go have this conversation with Ken. Now, many people think, was Ken present while I was having this conversation? Yes, he was sitting in the chair next to her. And he was doing something. These ghosts, they scare us. They haunt us. It was about 6 hours later, I got a call from my younger brother. And he said, man, a text from him. He said, man, I didn't know one question could stir up so many wounds and so many memories. We live out what we have learned. They haunt us. And we oftentimes don't even know that they're there. But part of growing up requires that we be willing to confront our past. Now, I'm not saying we need to go dig stuff up. I am saying, though, that when the time is right, our Father will bring it up. Our Father will bring it up. And someone will look you in the eye, just like Greg Nealon looked me in the eye and says, where do you think those fears and those insecurities are coming from? And I'll have to sit there and say, well, this is where I think. And he says, well, sounds like you've got some work to do, Pastor. And he's right. I do. But here's the thing. It's only scary if you give them the power to scare you. God says, I'm with you in this. I'm with you. We all hear voices. We all hear voices. And these old voices must be uncovered and they must be confronted if we are ever going to grow up. Because if we do not, if we allow them just to remain those all familiar echoes in our past that have always been there and they're just the normative part of our thinking, if we allow them to stay there, they will always sabotage our ability to grow up. You ever met someone who may be 45 years old, but they have the emotional maturity or the relational capacity of a 15-year-old? There are voices that they're listening to. And when you ask the question, well, where did you learn this from? This way of relating, this sense of your own identity, where did you learn from this from? Because I know this, you didn't learn it from Jesus. You learned it from the voices of your past. These old voices must be confronted because we will always live out what we have learned. This is Paul's point, believe it or not, in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. So he writes this, "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord." You feel the weight of what he is saying? He's saying you got to grow up. I not only am telling this to you, I'm not only giving you a teaching, but I am insisting on the reality that you need to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Let it have some weight. That you must no longer stop, you're doing it now, but stop, no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now let's pause right there and understand, well, why is he saying this? After all, they're Gentiles. They're doing what the voices have always told them to do. They're living the way in which they have learned to live. And Paul recognizes that and he's saying, stop it. Stop it. But they are living what they've learned. But he says, you've learned a new way. What's wrong with these voices? He says this in verse 18. For they are darkened in their understanding. In other words, they taught you the wrong way. They taught you to live life on your terms. They taught you that the individual that gets to determine what is right and wrong and what is good and evil. That's what they taught you. They taught you to pursue that whichever you want, to embrace whatever you want to embrace. They are darkened in their understanding and they are separated from the life of God. Not just separated from. Separated from seems like it's kind of an innocuous idea, but it's not that. It's not separated from, it's alienated from. There's hostility in the chasm of separation. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Now, this ignorance is not due to a lack of information. They were exposed to the truth, but they rejected it. So they knew what was right and what was righteous, what was God's way, but they said, I want nothing to do with that. They rejected it. Why? Due to the hardening of their own hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and continual lust for more and more and more and more and more. A lust that is never satisfied. This was the life that they grew up in, and this is the life that they were continuing to live. Why were they continuing to live it? Because they were choosing to listen to the voices of their past. They were living what they learned. They were living what they learned. But Martin, they were Christians. Why would they? Well, they do it for the same reasons we do it. How many of us have heard within the context of our world and our culture, believe what you want to believe. What's right and what's wrong, what's good and evil, you get to be the determiner of that. You're the arbiter of what's true and not true. what's good and bad, what's right or wrong, what's wise or stupid. You get to be the one who determines that. I mean, that's Genesis 3 played out all the time, right? Do what you want to. Believe what you want. And if others challenge you in the choices that you make, you just say, I was born this way. I can't change. There's a poet who is kind of sort of a prophetic voice of our age. Her name is Mary Oliver, and she wrote this. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. That's true. But what she goes on to say is this. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. And if you challenge that philosophy, you'll have the anger and the rage of culture rain down upon you. It used to be that people who are on the fringes says, you must tolerate what I do. And then they said, you must not just tolerate, you must accept what I do. But you must not just accept what I do, but you must celebrate what I do. And by the way, if you don't celebrate it, then they call you all kinds of nasty names. You must let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Those are the voices of our culture. Those are the voices of many homes. And they're not just limited to the city around us or the neighborhood in which we live. Sometimes they even creep into the church itself. But Paul says in verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ in this way. In other words, he's saying, you've been discipled in a different way. You've learned a different way of being, a different way of understanding. You've had a different voice speak into your life. You, however, did not come to know Christ in this way. Surely, you heard of Him and you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. What's His point? His point is this, we have a new voice. We have a new voice that we must pay heed to. You know, when we were born, this is a premise within Scripture and it's a premise within our lives. When we were born, the world told us who we are and how to live. When we were born, the world told us who we are and how to live. But when we are born again, God tells us who we are and how to live. And this is exactly what Paul is doing within the context of Ephesians. You are not the Gentiles you once were. So stop living in that way. You do not have to listen to the voices that shaped you, for you have a different voice that shapes you to be the influence in your life. You have a new voice. And Paul reminds them that you were taught, you've been discipled in a new way. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, to silence those voices, to be able to say, I will not listen to you. But it's a daily decisive decision. Because those voices will never be quiet. And unless we confront them, well, they will always have power. But once we confront them, we realize the lies that they are calling us into. Then we begin to have power. It's like we strip them of their power. Just remember where you have been taught. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. To lay it before the cross, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. One of the things that we as a church and we as individuals must do as followers of Jesus is we must be willing to accept the role of a disciple, but also not just the role of a disciple, but to disciple people in these realities. One is this, that there's a war that we must fight. That there is a war against these voices in our lives, these ways in which we have learned that go back to our past. This is the war against the inclinations of our bodies and of our lives that call us back again and again and again to indulge. It is a war against the voices of our culture that says, it's okay, you were born this way. It's a war against the compromise that we so easily settle into. And says, I don't want to have to grow up. I just want to kind of continue in the path that I've been in. Kind of like the scenery. It is a war against complacency. And sometimes it's even against a war against other Christian leaders and authors who say, you know what, it's okay to indulge those inclinations. After all, you were born that way. To which I would say, he's right. We were. We were born that way. But here's the truth. There is a new birth that we have been born into. Amen? There is a new birth. And that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, and this is what some of you were. And this is the theme of what he's talking about. This is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He's saying you are not what you were. You are now someone different with an entirely different entity, identity, with an entirely different personal compass and moral compass. You are a different person. I am a different person. And we must be willing to grow up in that new identity and that new person. We have been taught that way. But now we have a choice. We must grow up in that way. And if we choose not to, we need to understand that there is a cost for accommodation. For Paul is emphatic in verse 22, and he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, these former inclinations, these voices, these habits. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. Okay? That's what's called in the aorist tense. You've been taught that way, to that old self, which is now being, at this very moment, corrupted by deceitful desires. In other words, when we accommodate those old voices, we elevate them and we empower them. We give them a lot of power in our lives the more we listen to them. It's like giving them the keys to our chain, to the lock on our chain, and say, here, I will remain bound to you. When we accommodate the lie, it draws us into deeper and deeper ruin. We feed the beast in our lives. We empower the voices. We strengthen the inclinations. And Paul is saying, you were not taught this way. The world told you who you were. But when you were born again, God tells you who you are. There is a new voice that we embrace. How do we fight this war? There is a new voice that we must be willing to listen to. Amen? For you were taught to be made new. It's interesting. This is in what's called the passive voice. And what he's saying is this, you are told that God is going to do a new work in you. A work that you do not have the power to do yourself. This is a work of the Spirit. This is a work by God Almighty. That's what separates Christianity from all other religions. And all other religions, they say, you be good. When God says, when Christianity comes along and God does a new, God saves you, He says, I'll make you good. Because we don't have the power or capacity to do it any other way. And the way in which we sabotage that work is when we listen to the old voice and not the new voice. When we indulge our inclinations and we listen to those old voices regarding our identity, regarding our morality and our ethics, when we listen to that old voice, it's like we are sabotaging the very work of God in our lives, the work that He is doing to set us free. That is His point. You are taught to be made new in this attitude of your mind, the way of your thinking, what you're, who you're listening to. And God is fully committed to and invested in doing a new work in us. And I want to challenge us all to ask the question, where's the new work that God wants to do in your life? I know what it is He wants to do in my life, but what about your life? For me, it's facing fear. For me, it's facing the reality that I'm not competent to do what I'm going in to do. That I've got to learn some things. When I'm on call, and I work a shift from Thursday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. the next morning, it's usually okay except when it's a trauma night. A trauma night is the night when St. Joseph's Hospital is on call to receive all of the trauma patients within that geographic area. Now, they alternate between St. Joseph's Hospital versus Tacoma General, so that one hospital isn't always doing all the trauma cases. Well, it was about, oh gosh, probably about 1:30 in the morning, I got a page, and it was a level 3 trauma that was coming into the ER room. And this was probably the second trauma night that I'd done. And I got up and I walked out and I said, okay, God, I had no idea what I'm doing. But you know what? We will do this together. I will face the fear. And I went down into the ER and just took it from there. But here's the thing. God is saying, Martin, you're not facing this by yourself. I am with you. I am with you. You don't have to hide from what you're not secure in. You don't have to hide from what you're afraid of. All you got to do is say, I'm with you. I'm doing a work in you. Is it work that God is doing in your life? Is it scary to you? It should be. It should be. There's a lot of scary places within us where God is saying, you know what? I want you to grow up. I want you to change. I want to grow you. I'm doing a work in you. But we also have a role in this. We participate in this change process. For you were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds, but you were also taught to put on the new self in the attitudes of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, I face my fears. In other words, I face the change that God wants to do and say, you know what, I will, this is not too hard for you, Father. Instead, I will embrace it. I will embrace owning the fear, owning the old voice, owning the inclination that exists within my life that continues to call to me. I will own that. I will own the lie. And I know that you want to do something different, and let's do this. I surrender myself to His voice. I follow His voice, not the voices from my past, not the voices from culture, and certainly, certainly not the voices of my own inclinations. Even though I was born this way, I was not born again to be this way. Amen? What I am is not what I was. What I was is not what I am. We all got to grow up. When the lying voices from my past and the lying voices from my broken inclinations call me, I must confront those voices. And I must be willing to read this. I must be willing to remember this. I have been washed. I have been sanctified. I have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That becomes our battle cry. That becomes the flag that we carry as we seek to grow up ourselves and as we seek to walk with people who together we link arms and we say, let's grow up. Let's confront the stuff of our past. Let's confront those voices so that they may no longer have power and dominion over our lives. We need to confront our past because we need to grow up. Some questions for you to consider. I believe that they're on the app, but here they are. Which voices are you listening to? Are you listening to and believing the voices of your upbringing, of your inclinations? You know, it's scary to identify what they are, but once you say it, all of a sudden they're not nearly as scary any longer. So which voices are you listening to? Which voices, habits, or inclinations do you find it difficult to get rid of or to let go of? And how is giving into these voices and habits or inclinations, how are they sabotaging your ability to be able to thrive and to grow up? And are you willing to invite others, even a mentor or even a counselor, to pray for you, to pray with you, and to walk with you as you confront these voices? I really want to encourage you to take and to read these through these questions and to talk through them with a mentor, with a friend, with a counselor, and to begin to say, Father, I want to grow up. I know that you are doing a work in me, and I do not want to sabotage it because it's time to grow up. Father, we come before you, and we just want to acknowledge the reality, Lord, that we struggle with this. But Lord, that's okay. Lord, we want to struggle well. We want to fight well on behalf of your calling for us to grow up. So, Father, may we embrace your power and your voice as being the dominant voice that we listen to and the power that we submit to and the purposes for which you have called us. Lord, that we may be able to walk worthy of the calling which you have placed upon us in our identity, and not walk in an unworthy way where we betray that calling. In Jesus' name, amen.